Tuesday, March 14th. The idea came up at the early staff meeting today from Dick Cook that the president ought to do a TV thing on his busing statement because it would give him great exposure on a non-ITT domestic issue. He's making a good proposal. He'll get great credit for it. He'll get very strong congressional support, and there's some really terrific language in it. Plus, it puts the Democrats in the position of asking for equal time, which we'd be delighted to have them get, since they can do nothing but hurt themselves on the issue. I raised this with the president. He thought it was a pretty good idea, and as we went on during the day, it became, after discussing it with Ziegler, the president decided to go ahead, and he thinks he wants to do it at 10 o'clock so as to get a good West Coast audience. He's only going to go on for 10 minutes, so that'll probably work out. We had some discussion today of the Watson flap. Apparently Jack Anderson's going to run a column saying that Watson was drunk and mauling the stewardesses on his flight back to Paris. And everybody's in a great tizzy that this is going to be a huge scandal. Bill Rogers is especially shaky on it. I told the president about it this morning, and he, as I expected, took a very strong line, had no thought of backing off of him, and said to shape everybody else up. On IT&T, we didn't get much progress today. The committee went into executive session this morning, and then had Mitchell on this afternoon. I don't have much of a reading as to how he did. No progress on the Miami investigation or the typewriter or Mrs. Beard. Committee failed to come up with a subgroup to go out and interview Dita Beard even. So we're pretty much stalled on dead center, even though they had a day of activity on it. The problem now is just to get our counter effort on diversion and the busing thing Thursday night will help greatly on that. In a miscellaneous way, we agreed to go ahead with the Kissinger interview with Marvin Kalb, and also the president wants Henry scheduled with some of the other power groups around the country, like the one we did in California. The president's going to go ahead with his radio talks once priced at least to do up three of them to cover before Russia. We had some more discussion on how to handle the release of the names of contributors. And Sapphire feels we're going to have a real political problem on that. The president had me raise with Ehrlichman the question of whether now is the time to surface the Pentagon papers on Kennedy and Vietnam in a more vicious way and get some of that going as a counterfire, so that we're doing something on our initiative instead of just reacting to the Democrats. He's going back and forth on the question of when or whether to have a press conference, but probably will do one next week on TV. He's still toying with the idea possibly of doing it in office this week, but I don't think he will. He's looking now for some ideas for getting into the country, and agreed to do the drug trip to New York on Monday, just on a in-and-out one-day basis. He met with the CENTO Secretary General today, who's a little young fellow from Iran, who was the assistant to the Shah. And this guy said that he had always admired the president, being a close associate of the Shah's. But now he really believes that what he's done is the thing that may save the world and so on. This being primarily in reference to the China trip. I had a call at home this evening from Connolly, who said it was mad as hell. Said he wanted to see the president or talk to him right away because Stein had given out a statement today on international economic affairs, and also Marina Whitman had given out a different one, and Nat Samuels had given out a long press conference. all in violation of the rule that all of this is supposed to be under Connally's control. I had them put his call through to the president, and shortly thereafter the president called me. He said I was to call Stein and tell him there to be no more statements from him or any of his people without clearing with Connally. I'm to call Samuels and tell him the president did not approve of his statement, that it was not administration policy, and that the president wants his resignation tomorrow morning. Then I'm to call Ziegler and tell him he's to say that Connally is making a speech in New York tomorrow night, and that it will represent the administration view on international monetary policy, and that the releases by the other people are contrary, and he is to repudiate them. He called back and said I could call Rogers instead of Samuels. And so I did. Rogers felt we should get Samuels' view first and not act so hastily. I then called Connally to report what I was doing, and he said he didn't think Ziegler should put out a statement, and he wishes he would not do it because it would exaggerate Connally's speech, and there's not that much in it. He just wants to allay fears, not build this up. Ziegler's thing would build it up. Now we already have too much talk within the administration, and that would just start the pressure, which would be bad. He thinks we should low-key this. We don't want another flap. We have so much hell now with state and so much bitterness. We have to do this on a basis that won't stir things up and should get Samuels later. Any flap now will make a bad situation worse. Connally, in other words, wants to low-key the whole thing. He doesn't want coverage of his speech. He doesn't have any hard news in it. He doesn't want to highlight it with any more problems. So I called Rogers back and said, also Connally said, don't fire Samuels because I'll do the same thing. So I called Rogers back and he said Samuels is leaving anyway to go to Kuhn Loeb, and that we can get rid of him without making a flap, and he agreed with Connally that we shouldn't stir things up any further. President left at 9:30 tonight to go to Camp David to hide out from Helene Drown. He'll meet with the busing group up there tomorrow. The Florida returns in the early run show the president doing much better than expected, also Wallace doing better, and Muskie doing very badly, all of which is excellent news for us, in addition to the fact that the anti-busing thing carried 75-25. End of March 14th.